So chapter 31, as we finish up 1 Samuel and start into 2nd, just dealing with all the stuff that's going on here. We leave David from where he's been. We come to Saul again. And in chapter 31, we see the Lord moving, but just to bring about for David, certainly a place of the kingship, but for Saul, it means destruction. But he hasn't cried out to the Lord, hasn't looked to the Lord. And so now we see him in battle with the Philistines. They've set themselves against one another. Saul has already been to a medium, and she brought up Samuel, who told him that he was going to be dead the next day, and so we're now on that next day. It says, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And so here we are in that place of the battle coming in to be, and Saul has been slain now. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. So they're in that place, all of Israel falling down before the Philistines. But it's interesting that we can even look at the application for us, that the Philistines are always the enemies of Israel, and certainly our enemy is following hard against us. He's not letting up. He's following hard against us, and some have fallen slain as they have walked away from the things of the Lord, walked away from those things that God had for them, and yet we see what God can do is he takes David out and protects David really from this battle that's going on, protecting David from that place of being slain, in that place of having the Philistines against him, or him fighting against his brothers from Israel. We see the Lord's protection in the midst, and we see as he has cried out to the Lord that Saul doesn't cry out to the Lord. And what a sad place to go when you're in battle and not crying out to the Lord. And we're surrounded by battles, we're surrounded by enemies, and yet for us, we really need to be crying out in the midst for the Lord's direction, for the Lord's ways, for the Lord's protection. In the days that we're in, certainly for his protection from all the things that the world wants to pour out upon us, and really being led by the world, being led by Satan, we want to be directed and kept so that we won't be in those battles that will bring our destruction. So it says in verse 3 that the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. They hit him, they wounded him, and he's going to go through some things that he probably shouldn't and didn't have to. But it says in verse 4, then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. And many believe this might have been Doeg, his armor bearer. remember, Doeg was the one who got all the priests killed because he was the chief keeper of Saul's flocks, and he was used of the enemy to bring destruction to the priesthood. But it's kind of sad because in verse 4, Saul says to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through. From all that we can tell, these are the last words of Saul. What a sad place to be, not crying out, help, Lord, not asking the Lord for his direction, his ways, but instead crying out for one of his own to kill him. And what a sad place. There seems to be a little contradiction here as we get into chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, but we'll get to it as we go. But so it says in verse 6, then that Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together, the same day that the Lord had told him through Samuel that he was going to perish, he has perished with the armies. And when the men of Israel were on the other side of the valley, that were on the other side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So not only did they lose men, lost their king, lost their homes, lost their fields, lost their heritage, all because they weren't following the things of the Lord, and instead following the ways of the world, and letting the world run their decisions, letting the world come to that place of just overtaking them. Scripture tells us that we have victory because we have the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God is our victor. He's the one that's going to take care of us. He's the one that's going to give us victory. Sometimes we look for victory in this world, but we really need to be looking for the Lord's victory over the things in our lives, over the ways that we go, that He would have the victory. And He tells us that He is our victor, that He's the one that's won the victory. And so we come to trust Him in all our ways for all those things. But the men of Israel had to flee, because they had walked away from the things of the Lord. They had walked away from God, walked away from worship. And because of that, they had lost everything now. And we just see those judgments that come upon those that are going to forsake the things of the Lord, that there's going to be judgment there. There's always consequences to our direction, to our hope, to our ways of life. There's always going to be judgment in there, and it can be good, it could be reward, or it can be judgment that's going to bring destruction. And as we see that, we just shake our heads and just cry out even more for the Lord to take us and to walk with us and to direct us in the right way. And it says in verse 8 then that it came to pass in the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain. So after the battle's over, they start cleaning up and mopping up and taking the spoil that's theirs. It says that they came to strip the slain, and they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and send it into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols among the people, just proclaiming how great their gods were and how awful Israel's God was. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, one of their gods, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth-shan. Isn't that sad that they're in that place that we know of one whose body was put on a cross for us, but it was there for victory. It wasn't there for humiliation. Even though the world wanted to humble him, even though they wanted to shame him, he rose in victory. But the enemy always wants to take everything that we have, to strip those things, and to just proclaim that they are greater than God is. And what a sad place. It could have been so much different. Saul started out walking towards the Lord, but never proclaimed him to be Lord over him. He always looked for the ways of the world and the strength of the world, not walking in the ways of the world, not using what the Lord had given him. The Lord had put David right in his midst, right in that place to show him what he had for him, but Saul tried to kill that out of his life. And this is what's going to happen to folks who are trusting in their own relationship with the Lord, their own ways of getting salvation, their own ways of walking towards the Lord, that they're never going to find the fulfillment that God has for them. Instead, they're just going to find victory in the world, but not over the world. Because the world is going to come and then proclaim that their gods are greater. And isn't it going to be amazing? We read of accounts of the rapture coming, and we trust it. We know it's going to come to pass, and we're looking forward to it. Lord, come quickly. Get us out of here. But in that place, the world is going to proclaim that they've gotten rid of the Christians. And that we don't know what they're going to say. They may say that the aliens came and took us. Have your way. They may say that a sudden disease came through and got rid of us all. It doesn't really matter, because we're going to be gone and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And praise the Lord for that. But the world is going to claim victory and put their things on the wall and say, we now have everything that we ever wanted. And Satan, in his deception, his own deception, is going to say that he's defeated God. But we know, and God knows, that he is going to be the ultimate victor and not them. And soon they're going to see, after they've proclaimed victory, within 7 years, they're going to see the judgment of God coming upon them for that 7-year period. While we're in the marriage supper of the Lamb, they're going to be in the great tribulation period. And how sad that's going to be. Proclaiming victory, even the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple on the throne of God, just proclaiming himself to be God. And then the great tribulation starts, as Israel realizes they've anointed the wrong king. And what a sad place. In the world will still be shaking their fist at God. Can you imagine? With all the stuff that's going to go on in Revelation, that people are going to be there and shaking their fist at God instead of bowing their knee to God. Ugh. An awful, awful place. And the enemy may win some skirmishes, but God is going to win the battle. So it says in verse 11 then, when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, remember Saul had come to the rescue early on, right after he had been proclaimed as king. When the inhabitants there heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. They've gone, from all accounts, about 10 miles to march through to get their bodies to bring them back. Something that men will do, in that God will give them strength for. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree in Jabesh, and fasted for 7 days. It's amazing, as we go through, hold your place here. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to hit a couple verses here, just to see the difference, just to see what's gone on, and for us to remember what has really happened. In chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And these sound like strange verses to go to from where we are, but hang on for a second, we'll get there. But this is from the Mount of Beatitudes. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they are going to obtain mercy. Flip over a little bit and go to chapter 9. And look at verse 13, and it says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but come to call sinners to repentance. So we kind of see that the things that are going on, the things that are happening, David has bowed his knee to the Lord, but the rest of Israel right now has not. And so judgment has come. God has shown mercy to some, and yet judgment upon others. And that seems unfair to the world, but it's not unfair to God, because his ways are different than our ways. His ways are strange to the things of the world, because he's shown us mercy, that we don't suffer the consequences that should have come upon us. The body that was hung, Saul's body that was hung on the wall there in the land of the Philistines, we remember what Jesus has done for us because his body was hung up for us. If you look at it, he was on a cross between heaven and earth. Heaven didn't want him because sin was upon him. Earth didn't want him, so they were trying to offer him to heaven. But after the sacrifice was accepted, after mercy was shown, after grace was shown, we see that then he was accepted to heaven. They tried to bury him in the earth, but God took him out of the earth and brought him back to heaven. And we remember that because of his body that was hung, we have now salvation and freedom from sin. We're still in these sinful bodies. Heaven right now not wanting us because we have sin before him. Earth doesn't want us. But once that sacrifice is seen, once the Lord comes to get a hold of us, then we're going to be accepted in heavenly places, just like Jesus was. Oh, and our judgment was put upon him on that cross as he was suspended between heaven and earth. But our judgment was put there, and now we have access to heaven because of that sacrifice. Go to Luke chapter 6. And one more verse here, and then we'll go back. But he tells us this, because we've received that mercy, he now tells us something different. Because we have this mercy now from God, that we should be showing mercy. And it says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And what is he telling us to give? Not to give possessions, but to give that same mercy that God has given to us. He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." As we give mercy, it's going to be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, as it's formed, as it's taken root, as it's taken place in our lives, that it's brought together in us, and it's going to become running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you mete out, with all it shall be measured unto you again. Because we cannot outgive God. And as he shows us mercy, as we show the world mercy, that we can't give more than what he has already given to us. We give out, and it's going to come together. It's going to be measured, and it's going to be seen, and he's going to pour out abundantly above all that we could ask or think mercy to you and I. And aren't you glad that we have the mercy of God and not the judgment of God? Oh, Saul experiencing the judgment, we're going to experience the mercy because we're going to be raised from these places into heavenly places with new bodies, with robes of righteousness, sitting around the throne worshiping God. Oh, and there we are. And isn't it sad that Saul is never going to see that? But the people of God are going to experience that and know that. But what we need to do is not just to see it on pages, but to believe it in our hearts, to have it written on the tables of our hearts so that we can get through the days that we're in, so that we can go through however long the Lord is going to tarry before he comes. Can you imagine what this world is going to look like in 5 more years? If the last 5 years has brought what it's brought, what is the next 5 years going to bring? It's just going to be unbelievable. The people are doing whatever's right in their own eyes, whatever they want. Judges are letting people go for absolutely no reason, but just because they want to let them go. We had a judge even in Rochester, and it's been written up. And his name is Michael Lopez, and if you vote for him this fall, I'm ashamed of you. He had a man who was convicted of multiple crimes. The police caught him with a gun in his hand, on his person, And they arrested him. They brought him before the judge. He let him go with no bail. Even though he's been convicted of other crimes, having a gun when you're a felon against the law, and the police are completely frustrated. But the judge let him go with no bail, no bond, no nothing. Just let him go. What a sad thing when we're not judging the criminals for what they've done. Instead, we're just letting them go because we just don't care anymore. The police are completely frustrated. The ones that are trying to do their job are completely frustrated. But we can't get frustrated because of what the world does. We just have to keep trusting the Lord over us that He's going to do the right thing and it's going to come to pass. Scripture says, be sure your sin is going to find you out, and one day there is going to be real judgment, and it's going to be righteous judgment, and He's going to be the judge. We can't judge now. We can't take out vengeance because vengeance is His, saith the Lord. What we do is we just trust God. You know what you're doing, so have your way. He's just giving the world opportunity to come to Him by showing mercy and grace. And we go, I don't want to show mercy. I want them to suffer. He says, no, you don't, because if you didn't get saved, you wouldn't want judgment upon you. And He's continuing to show His mercy while we're here in this world. But can you imagine when the Holy Spirit is taken from this earth, what the world is going to look like? We think it's bad now. We haven't seen anything. Because once His Holy Spirit is taken from this world, and the Spirit doesn't rule and reign anymore like He is now, oh my goodness, it's going to be awful. But thank goodness we won't be here. Because where He is, that's where we're going to be. So if He's gone, we're out of here. Or you better hope you're out of here. You better be born again to know that you're going to be out of here. So back in Samuel here, just for that place of just mercy. And look at these men of Jabesh-Gilead. What are they showing? They're showing mercy to a man that really didn't deserve mercy. We go, well, wow, that's strange, but it's just a type of what Jesus has done for you and I, because it says in Scripture that while we were yet enemies with God, He gave His life for us. While we were still His enemies, He died for you and I. Oh, that's just the mercy that they're showing to a man who didn't deserve mercy. But that's just God's picture of what He has done for us already. And so these men of Jabesh-Gilead had come, they took him, they burned his bodies, they took their bones, they buried him under the tree, they gave him a real burial, and they fasted for 7 days. These men who didn't have to, but did. Seven being the number of completion, the number of perfection. They fasted and prayed for the people, for the relatives, for all the situations that were around them. And then we dive into to 2 Samuel, and it says here in chapter 1, now it came to pass after the death of Saul, that when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. We've already read about this, and we wonder why it's here. There's a good reason it's coming. It came to pass on the third day, and whenever you see the number 3, you know that something's going to happen. Something big is coming. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the earth. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale. We know that something's coming. It came to pass on the third day that behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell on the earth to do obeisance. This man has come a long way from Mount Gilboa to Ziklag, is about 100 miles. And this man knew where David was, evidently, and knew where to go, and he came to David, and he does obeisance. He bows himself before David, realizing that he's going to be king. But there's something that's going on here, and we'll see what that is. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. So he's come, he's got his clothes rent, he's got dust on his head, which means he's mourning. So David sees it and realizes there's something going on. You know, just like you and I, and folks that we know, that get phone calls. And the person on the other end says, "Is this Mr. So-and-so?" And we say, "Yes, it is." And they say, "Well, I'm from the cancer center." And we go, "Uh-oh, bad news." When you see somebody with their clothes torn and earth on their head, dirt on their head, you know they're in mourning, you know there's bad news coming. And so David just looking, wondering what's going on. And David says unto him, "How went the matter?" Because he knows he's come from the battle. And he says, "I pray thee, tell me." And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. Notice he doesn't mention the other two sons. Evidently he knows that David has a favorite man. His name is Jonathan, Saul's son. He needs to know that Saul is dead because he was king, and Jonathan, his best friend, is dead. So he knows some of the situation. He knows what's going on. So he comes and brings him news. And the young man told him and said, "As I happen," or David says in verse